Welcome to the Steroids Podcast with your host, Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Boom! Boom! Let's get started here. The Steroids Podcast is brought to you by Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Now, for the first time in bodybuilding history, you have someone with no corporate interests and no obligation to please anyone, not walking on eggshells to not offend. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the information, the whole truth, not a full truth and a half truth, full truth. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the keys to the Lamborghini, gives you the information, and lets you decide what to do with it. It's a crime this information has been suppressed this long. Now let's get on with the podcast.
First question for today. Stu asks, please answer this. What the fuck do I do to mitigate mental health effects on Tren? Or will I be a slave to them forever as I go above 200 milligrams weekly? I've tried my 5-HTP, ashwagandha, melatonin stack, and it just doesn't seem to achieve anything. Thanks, Dan. Yeah, so going above 200 milligrams, he's right. That's the dosage where, like, Tren mental effects start to become significant. Usually, like, 300-400 milligrams per week is still tolerable and everything. But above that is when you'll start getting effects generally that just people who have nothing to do with bodybuilding will start noticing that there's something different going on about you, like, why are you shaking, stuff like that. Other stuff, that's just one example. But it's, you know, when you're going above 300-400 milligrams per week of Trenbolone, that's when people will start to notice there's something off about this guy. And again, a lot of steroid users are in total denial about this and will say that that doesn't happen to them, but other people notice it. So he's right about, you know, when he goes above 200 milligrams weekly, you know, 150 to 200 milligrams per week, the mental side effects of Trenbolone are way, like, lower. They're like not very prominent, at those doses. The mental side effects get prominent when you go above 150 to 200 milligrams per week. I would say that they're totally manageable below 200 milligrams per week. Like, you're not going to have some kind of like nightmare experience on Trenbolone going like 150 to 200 milligrams per week. Like, if somebody, I mean honestly too, like, the thing about like Trenbolone or being like afraid of it, like, it's not going to really like jump out at you really and be like, oh, it's so horrible or something. Really, like, I've tried to emphasize this in the past, but it's something that for people who are using Tren repeatedly and they're on it like a lot of the time, because a lot of bodybuilders, it's like every cycle they do, they're using Tren. This is when it starts creeping into your life, and then that's when it can be like a significant factor in someone's mental health. Usually just doing a cycle of it or something like that, especially if it's not, you know, especially if somebody's only used it, you know, once, twice, three times or something like that, they're generally going to think like these gains are really awesome and they're going to be like happy because of the gains, and they'll completely not notice, you know, most of the side effects. That, yeah, I would say that it's more of a long-term thing with the Trenbolone and the side effects. Like, the more time that you're on it, the more you become aware of what it's doing to you. And I mean, that's how it is even with, like, testosterone and everything, too, because testosterone makes you more aggressive and shit and has other effects on your personality. And it probably took me 10 years on steroids to start admitting to myself that it was doing that. But yeah, you know, you've tried a stack of supplements, 5-HTP, ashwagandha, melatonin to help chill you out. You know, I would definitely put in N-acetylcysteine and vitamin B12 with that too, because both of those substances are going to clear up oxidative stress on your nerves, and they're both like calming substances. B12 stimulates GABA release. And N-acetylcysteine has a major calming effect. I mean, that's one way that you can get rid of anxiety, like pretty acutely, is to use around 3,000 milligrams of N-acetylcysteine per day, like split twice a day or three times a day or something like that. And there's pretty significant anti-anxiety effects to that. And that's been validated in studies adding N-acetylcysteine to SSRIs, antidepressants, etc. Same thing with the B vitamins. There's been a lot of, there's been a decent number of studies using adjuvants with antidepressants and seeing if the adjuvants, something like vitamin B12 or something like N-acetylcysteine, has an additive or synergistic effect with the classical antidepressant drug. So, I don't know, you're not going to be able to mitigate the mental effects of tren. Luckily, for somebody to use tren, like when they're bulking, like you really don't have to use a big dose in order to get the benefits to it. I really believe in bulking on what I've told you guys before. Testosterone, primobolan, DECA, equipoise. Testosterone, and then picking one or two of those anabolics or all of those anabolics and putting them in, stacking them with the testosterone, and then using orals to break plateaus. And then what you can do with the tren is, like you said, you don't really have bad mental side effects under 200 milligrams per week. And I would agree with that, like on average. So this, when you just add that little bit of tren to your regular anabolic cycle, you get a massive increase in gym performance and gym aggression that the other steroids are not going to do to you. So it's going to take your workouts to another level. It's going to enable you to train in a way that you could not train without that hormone in your system to put 150 or 200 milligrams of tren into your cycle. So it's going to take what's happening in the gym, your training intensity, it's going to help it go harder, okay? So what I think is a perfect cycle is something like, for a very serious bodybuilder, would be something like 1,000 plus milligrams of testosterone, 1,000 plus milligrams of primobolan, and then something like 200 milligrams of trenbolone enanthate per week, or 50 milligrams of trenbolone acetate twice a week or three times a week or something like that. And the person could also use DECA or equipoise with that. And, you know, you'll hear like on internet forums or just like people repeating what other people have said on YouTube or whatever, you'll hear things like, oh, you can't stack DECA and tren, but all of the guys who are at the top stack DECA and tren, okay? That's the rules for the beginners. So it's testosterone and DECA. That's how muscle has been built for a long ass fucking time, okay? And primobolan, okay? And equipoise. And then D-balls and anadrols, okay? These help you get your lifting performance up at the gym. Like we talked about in the last podcast, you guys have got to be doing in the gym 2 months from now what is impossible for you to do this month. You have to be continually doing more. And, you know, if you're using the same weights in the gym this year as you were last year for your lifts, you basically look the same. And, you know, these things just, they just go with each other. So that's how I believe cycles should be set up, how I believe they work the best. How I believe you get the best mental effects from them. You know, everyone knows also, too, that, you know, big bodybuilders are, like, not normal people. If you know any big bodybuilders personally, you'll know that there's a lot of things that you could say are off about someone like that. And a lot of it has to do with you know, like using high amounts of these hormonal substances that affect your brain. They affect your brain. Whoa. Surprise! A girl on her period acts different because of hormones. A guy on steroids acts different because of hormones. Surprise! And the trenbolone is the one that is the worst for that. It gives you all the stereotypical side effects of steroids that are like, you know, they say, you know, don't do this because you don't take steroids because you're going to have a nightmare or something. trenbolone is going to give you, you know, those classic, side effects. And, you know, not all the time, but it certainly pushes things in that direction. And then the other thing too with the trenbolone is you get more of the gains that you're thinking of that you're going to get when you think of steroids, when you haven't taken steroids yet, when you're thinking like, what do steroids do? What kind of gains does steroids give a person? You're thinking of trenbolone when you're thinking that. You're not thinking of, you know, like 500 milligrams of test or something. You're thinking of what trenbolone does. If you're a non-steroid user and you're imagining what steroids do or what they would do to your body, you're imagining what trenbolone would do to your body. And a lot of times when you're imagining, you know, what kind of bad side effects could happen from using steroids, again, you're imagining the effects of trenbolone. This is a very high side effect steroid and very high gain steroid that tends to go together. Like high side effects and high gains tend to go together. All right, so I think that'll be, I think I'm wrapping up that question. Now let's move on to the next question. Skeeter asks, hello, Dan. I have to say, I love your podcast and listen to it all the time, especially at work. I've learned a lot from your podcast and still am. Keep it up. By listening to your podcast, I took action and ordered a heart scan. And he has a question. He had a heart scan with stress test echocardiogram in November. So basically a heart scan is where they like scan your coronary artery for like plaque or atherosclerosis, heart disease forming, which, you know, that's a progressive thing. And then the stress test echocardiogram is when you're on a treadmill and they're looking inside your heart while you're sprinting uphill on the treadmill and you hit your maximum heart rate. So when I did a stress test echocardiogram, my heart rate went up to 190. So very, very high, exercise, taking you to the top of your exercise capacity and looking at all the chambers, all the switches, everything, the valves inside of your heart and how they function at that time. And a cardiologist then goes and looks it over. So he looks for things like cardiomegaly or left ventricular hypertrophy, thickening of the pumping chamber of the heart. He looks over all those things, sees if there's anything, you know, right or wrong. So after you've taken one of these tests or both of those tests, you have a pretty good feel for exactly, you know, what's going on with your heart. So for guys that have anxiety about maybe something's going on with their heart or what's going on with their heart, getting a heart scan, a cardiac calcium scoring scan, or a stress test echocardiogram, or both, is going to help you to feel more confident because you're actually going to look at your heart. You're going to look inside your heart. You're going to see these things. You'll see images of it while you're exercising, et cetera. And the doctor's going to look at it and he's going to tell you, you know, whether, you know, something's wrong or not. So, you know, I felt like so fucking naked when I took that test. It's pretty nerve wracking because, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of people kind of have like anxiety about their heart or something. I'm not sure what it is. I've noticed it in a lot of bodybuilders, but just people in general. And so when you get the stress test echocardiogram, there is nowhere to hide, man. If you've got a problem, that thing is going to be on full display. So it's kind of nerve-wracking, you know. When I took it, I didn't end up having a problem, but I'll tell you, I couldn't even go to sleep after, you know, that night waiting for the result the next morning or whatever. I couldn't even sleep, man. I was so nervous and anxious about that. So anyways, Skeeter says he had the heart scan with stress test showing that he's in the beginning stages of developing left ventricular hypertrophy. He's had high blood pressure for many years while using roids and tried to get blood pressure meds, but not easy in Norway, but now he's got it. He used to have blood pressure from 135 over 80 to 160 over 100. His resting heart rate was 100 to 105 beats per minute, and he's a big bloater and estrogen sensitive. Okay, so that was a... what he just now listed there was a warning sign. Okay, so the chronic high blood pressure and the chronic elevated resting heart rate and being bloated, having water retention, those are three things that are putting stress on your heart. And if you're maintaining that for years, of course there's going to be some adaptation. Now the left ventricular hypertrophy and everything, that's reversible. And even cardiomegaly is reversible. Like, the heart can grow and atrophy. Pretty interesting. So that's another thing that if, you know, one of you guys might have left ventricular hypertrophy or something, you don't have to be, like, so afraid of that. Like, if that is the verdict on you, like, you have a death sentence or something, you can reverse it. You can reverse the left ventricular hypertrophy. So... don't freak out, just do what's necessary to fix it. So, and then he says he's now on 40 milligrams telmisartan and 50 milligrams metoprolol, which is a beta blocker that slows down your heart. And he started doing cardio at least 1 hour every day for a month already. And with the heart rate, with the resting heart rate, you know, his was about 100 or 105. You want to keep it at 80 or below. That's a acceptable resting heart rate. When you're not exercising, when you're just resting, you're just laying down, you know, 80 or below is acceptable. Doctors say his left ventricular hypertrophy can be reversed, as you said in the podcast. He has a new checkup in June. Okay, he says he's currently on 300 milligrams test a week and stopped higher doses since the left ventricular hypertrophy thing was figured out. He's done blood tests. He said he loved using Tren in his younger years for like 6 or 7 years. He said he's been using roids 6 to 7 years total and loved using Tren in the younger years. Okay. Nutrients are on point and eat all the right things. So to his question, he stopped his cycle of 600 deca 900 test with D-ball and Winstrol in November after the scan. Now he wants to cut down some fat and keep muscle, but not sure about taking a new cycle. I already stay away from Tren, but are there other compounds I have to stay away from? Stimulants are no-go, as well as Tren. He's 174 centimeters, 102 kilograms, and wants to get down to 90 kilograms and stay there. He was thinking of test only 600 milligrams per week, but wants to add something extra, like Ekpoise, Deca, Primo, or Winstrol. It says, keep it up, Dan. Best fucking podcast there is. Greetings from Norway. Okay, yeah, so I would keep it conservative until you've fixed the problem. So you said you've gone off the off cycle, and you've got your blood pressure under control now, and you've got your resting heart rate under control now. So now it's like you've taken these stressors off that were causing you to have a problem before. And I recommend that you stay off of those stressors. You keep the good resting heart rate, you keep the good blood pressure, and you stay, you know, on TRT like you are now, instead of blasting, until the problem is good. you know, the left ventricular hypertrophy that he said it was very slight. So it was just the beginning stages of it. So if it was me, I would definitely want to arrest that from progressing any further and reverse it. And then after you reverse it and you're all nice and healed and everything, then think about doing another blast or something like that. That's what I would do. And again, it's not going to take like, you know, a decade or something for it to reverse. Like, the body changes when you put stressors on and when you take stressors away. I mean, I've even seen really interesting data of guys with significant left ventricular hypertrophy from steroid use discontinuing steroid use and having their hearts go back to completely normal. So again, like, the heart is an organ that is not static. It can change. So if you've done, it sounds like you've done a little bit of damage and you should now let it heal before you go and do something that might be stressful again. And it sounds like you've been making real good choices so far. Keep that up for a few more months. You've got another appointment in June to see, you know, what's going on, to see, you know, if it's healed. So I think that sounds great. Okay. Next question from Mick. Hey, Dan, just want to say I'm a massive fan of your work. I'm getting through all the podcasts starting from the beginning and going to buy the book, Ultimate Guide to Roids. I have listened to a few later episodes too, though. A question, if I can, what kind of results can I expect out of my first ever cycle? Been natty for life. For my own expectation management, based on that I've been powerlifting for the last 4 to 5 years, I'm kind of strong. 265 kilogram deadlift, well, that's more than 500 pounds, 220 kilogram squat, 130 kilogram bench press, that's more than three plates. That's not more than three plates. That's almost three plates, that's like 295. But don't inherently appear strong. I've always struggled to lose midsection fat, 36 years old. I'm not small, but not big either, at 107 kilograms. My diet isn't 100%, but definitely not too bad. I usually meet macros for surplus and indulge in a bit of Dirty Bird KFC every now and then. He's in it for the long haul and hoping to look like someone who lifts. Do you think test on its own will help to start? Looking at 500 to 700 milligrams per week with Arimidex, if I could get your thoughts, I would massively appreciate it, man. Yeah, so you are at a good strength. That's a good deadlift and a good squat and a good bench. With those numbers, you're stronger than, you know, like all the naturals pretty much at your local gym. You know, not all the naturals on the internet, but probably at your local gym. So you're doing good. And you know what? If you do want to get a lot further, yeah, anabolics are going to be being used. So you want to use test only. And I did too on my first cycle. And really, on my first cycle, you know, I was still in that thing, you know, where I was like, well, I just want to be natty, but just do this one thing, you know, because I wanted to be like Matt Ogis, but I hired his coach. And that was when I realized that Matt Ogis was on steroids. And so then, you know, in order to get that body, I'd have to take steroids. So then I fired Matt Ogis's coach, and then I started 600 milligrams of testosterone. But after a month of that, I was probably a little bit further away from my goal than when I started the cycle. Because the testosterone made me bigger, and it made me stronger. But it, like, made my whole body bigger, and it, like, made my whole body, like, more bloated and shit. And so it would have taken like multiple more months for me to start like building up like more muscle mass so that there was like serious non-water retention protein tissue muscle mass increase that was outweighing some of the bloat increase that I was getting. Because, you know, like when you take steroids and shit, like your face like gets bigger, like especially when you take like testosterone and Adibol or something, like your face gets bigger and people might even think like, oh, you gained some fat or something like that. So anyways, after the first month on my testosterone 600 milligrams only cycle, I was actually feeling pissed. I was feeling like gypped, and I was feeling like this is not what I expected, because what I was expecting was what we were talking about earlier, where before you've used steroids, what do you imagine steroids are going to be like? Well, you imagine that they're going to be like the way that Tren is. I mean, I don't even think you imagine that they're going to be like the way that D-ball is, because honestly, when you've never used steroids yet, you think that when you start taking this stuff, you are going to become like a fucking pro bodybuilder, like on one cycle or like on two cycle. That's what you believe. And you also think that when you start taking it, your body is just going to start like fucking transforming, just like losing fat and gaining muscle and strength. And like, you're not even having to do anything, you really believe before you've used steroids that you, from using any steroids, from using 600 tests, whatever, is going to get you like, you know, insane results. And that's not the case, actually. You know, in a month, you're going to get bigger. You're going to get a little more bloated and a little more stronger. And people are going to notice you got a little bigger and maybe think you maybe got a little fatter or something too, like that. You know, like it's just that the expectations are, and that's the reason why even there's this podcast and everything, is because there is so much more to it than just taking the steroids or just going to the gym. You know, like that's one of the reasons why it's like, yo, don't use roids unless you're like really serious about gym, you know, because if you're not, you're not going to have the discipline and the motivation to do the training the way that you have to train in order to make serious gains. And you're not going to have the motivation or the desire to eat the way that you have to eat in order to make serious gains, because you can take as many fucking steroids as you want. You can take as many damn steroids as you want. And if the training and the diet are not on point simultaneously, they're not going to do jack shit. And what I mean when I say diet and training on point simultaneously, I mean you're doing training that is making you be able to do more weights for more sets for more reps on the same exercises that you did today 1 month from now. And when I say diet on point, I mean that if you're trying to gain muscle, you are gaining body weight on the scale. And if you are trying to get lean, you are losing body weight on the scale. All right. So that's what I mean by training and diet being on point. It doesn't mean you trained hard. It doesn't mean you went into the gym and you gave it a hard effort. You're just not trying hard enough. Or just not pushing myself enough, okay? That's not it. That's not it. You have a strategy that works for increasing your gym performance, getting better numbers on the lifts that you do a month from now than the numbers that you have today. So it doesn't matter if that's bench press or dumbbell press or hammer strength press. Doesn't matter if that's squat or leg press or whatever else. You have to be increasing the numbers, the amounts of weights, the amounts of sets, and the amounts of reps that you can do. You have to be increasing that and being able to do what is impossible for you next month in order to make gains this month, okay? You have to be on that road getting better. That's what I mean when I say training and diet must be on point. If you're not willing to train in a way that is going to be causing those results, then, oh man, a lot of people are taking steroids, but then they're training for their mental health or something, you know, and they're training the way that they want. A lot of guys can't even step foot in the gym without taking drugs and getting high before, you know, they have to take pre-workout drugs in order to get high and go to the gym. They just don't have the motivation without it. They say they love the gym, but from what I see, they fucking hate it. They can't even get in the fucking gym without taking drugs. So I just see, like, cause you know, there's so many people out there who want to be successful in the gym. It's amazing. It's amazing how many people are trying and how many people are failing. You know, it just shows how horrible the information is about how to do it. And it shows how horrible the motivation is and how much lack of, you know, willing to do what is necessary and, you know, stubbornness on, you know, doing what someone wants to do instead. The results of the, you know, the commercial gyms, and when you walk in and you see what everybody's doing in there, how everybody looks, those show what the, you know, what the situation is. So I think, let me look at this question again. You know, what kind of results are you expecting? Okay, so I pretty much summed that up pretty good for what kind of results you could be expecting with 600 milligrams of testosterone only cycle. You could be expecting to get bigger. You could be able to get, be expecting to get stronger, and you could be expecting to look more bloated, and you could be expecting to make the gains that you believed that creatine would give you before you ever used creatine. When you first found out about creatine and you're thinking, oh shit, I've got to get that stuff because look at these gains that it can give me. I just read about it. Okay, 600 milligrams of test is going to give you the gains that you thought you deserved from creatine. All right? If you want to get more like extreme results, or like looking not natural, looking freaky, well, unnatural hormones are going to be involved with that. Looking freaky, looking unnatural. Unnatural hormones are what give those looks. Bodybuilders don't look that way because just because they have big muscles. Bodybuilders look that way because they have big muscles, and those muscles are on not natural hormonal drugs that make the muscles be a not natural shape while those drugs are in their blood. That's called the cosmetic effect of steroids. So in order to get more of that, because he says he wants to look like someone who actually lifts, okay? But he's already lifting a lot of weight. So what does that tell me? It tells me that he wants unnatural looking muscles. He's seen bodybuilders on steroid cycles, like me, like anyone, and you know me, when I was a young guy before I ever went to the gym, I wanted to be a bodybuilder. Okay, I didn't want to have a good beach body. I didn't want to go to the gym and look like a Hollister model or something like that. I would have joined the water polo team if that's what I wanted. I went to the gym because I wanted to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger and like Franco Colombo. And, you know, I wanted to be a bodybuilder. That was the reason why I joined the gym. And so obviously I wanted to have unnatural looking muscles. I didn't know that at the time, but I wanted unnatural looking muscles. And actually during, when I watched the 1996 Olympics, that was the first time that I ever saw bodies on steroids. And I was absolutely fascinated by the men's gymnastics competitors in the 1996 Summer Olympics. And so that was the first time that I really saw steroid users. And that was the first time that I really went, I need to get like that. Okay. So if you want to get more of that unnatural looking muscle, then adding in unnatural hormones is going to really like streamline you to that. So using something like Trenbolone, and again, you don't have to use a lot, anywhere from 50 to 100 milligrams every other day of acetate, or 1 to 2 milliliters per week of enanthate will get the effect. Or you could use Winstrol, 50 milligrams per day. That would do it too. Or Anadrol, 50 milligrams per day. Or D-Ball, 30 milligrams per day. Or Primobolan, 700 to 1,000 milligrams per week. Again, Primobolan is not cost effective. It works really good, and it's not toxic. And it does give the look. It gives the unnatural muscle look, but it is only effective like that at high doses. So that's sort of the plus and minus there for Primobolan. But yeah, I think I pretty much told you now the expectations and what you could do to more make the results be more like your expectations. All right, now I'm going to tell a quick story that is kind of a funny story, okay? So when I first went to Thailand the first time, okay, the first time I went to Thailand, I was sitting in a mall one time. Okay, I was sitting in the mall. I was sitting in the main mall in Bangkok, actually, near the MRT and the BTS station, the SkyTrain and the subway. And I was eating lunch at the food court, and a man approached me and asked me if he could sit down next to me to eat lunch. And I said, yeah. And he said, you're looking really big. You're looking really huge. I've always wanted to be like someone. I've always wanted to look like you. You know, he was very polite, and he gave like he was flattering a little bit. And then he said, how do you do it? So I said, well, you know, you've got to get good at weightlifting, and you've got to take steroids. And and I said, I take steroids, you know. And he said, oh, really? And he said, well, how do you do it? You know. And I said, oh, well, I give myself an injection or something. So, anyways, he wanted to take steroids. He wanted to know all about how to take steroids. So I told him, you know, what someone would take. And so he wrote down like a list of, you know, he basically like cold approached me in the mall to figure out how to take steroids. Okay. And so we kind of, you know, like wrote down a little, you know, I'm just eating lunch here. So I just like, whatever, yeah, I'll just, you know, what do you need to do for a cycle? And it was like 600 milligrams of testosterone cypionate and 30 milligrams of D-ball per day. And then Arimidex. And then the type of syringes, I think it was like, you know, like 3 milliliter syringes with like 18 gauge for draw, like 23 for shooting. And then I like circled a couple of like injection depots, you know, like showed him like, you know, like this is where you'd put it or something, you know, like on a diagram. And then I didn't hear from him again until 4 months later. And 4 months later, this dude sends me a text message with a photo of him. And this dude turned into a different person. So I knew right away that he got carried away with what he was doing. Because giving someone 600 milligrams, if someone is taking 600 milligrams of testosterone and 30 milligrams of D-ball, they can't make progress like this in 4 months. Okay, so he had gone from just looking like your average natty who goes to the gym regularly to looking like, kind of looking like a gym god, actually. And like, you know, he had size and he was completely ripped, and he was strong too. I said, what did you do? Were you taking what we discussed? And he said, no, I really liked it, so I wanted to try more. And I said, well, what were you doing? And he said, well, the 600 milligrams of test, I was taking that 3 times a week instead of once. And the 30 milligrams of D-ball, I just took 100 milligrams of D-ball per day. So he was, for his first cycle, he was taking 1,800 milligrams test cypionate and 100 milligrams of D-ball per day. And he did that for 4 months. And he, you know, had this really shocking transformation, which isn't a surprise. That's a very strong cycle of anabolic androgenic steroids to be using. That's a very high amount of firepower. And I'm sure he had like blood pressure issues and shit too. Like, you know, we didn't talk about, you know, what possible effects else there was, you know, because you can't do any of this. None of this stuff happens without any consequences at all. There's consequences to fucking everything you do. But anyways, he did achieve the first cycle like dream that, you know, a lot of people want to do. And I think that it also, he was like somebody who did not get a lot of steroid side effects, because a lot of people would not be able to do that, would not be able to take 1800 milligrams of testosterone and 100 milligrams of D-ball together. They would have uncontrollable estrogen, gyno, water retention, blood pressure crisis, etc. But this guy just didn't. And I've known other guys like that too. I've known other guys who take astronomical amounts of roids that I know that I couldn't take myself
because of the side effects that I would get. But they just have no side effects. They just have no side effects. Guys, I know. They just have no side effects. They're built different. You know, not everybody can drink the same amount of alcohol. Some people can drink more than others without falling over. Okay. The same is true with gear. The same is true with gear. So, yeah, this guy had a crazy cycle. You guys that are thinking of your first cycle, you know, I really think that the way that I set it up for that guy, like 600 milligrams test, 30 milligrams D-ball will get most people what they're looking for without being overboard and just completely diving in like that, you know, going on a huge steroid cycle. It's better to ease into that, I think. It's better to ease into that rather than jumping into that like that. But yeah, anyways, that's what happened with him. Okay, so now we get on to our next question. Joey asks, I'm about to add HGH to my cycle for the first time. I'm going to run 700 test, 500 deca, 50 milligrams D-ball every other month, and HGH will be 4 IUs a day. I don't compete, so I'm just looking for all the extra benefits HGH adds to steroids and your overall health, better sleep, and making your steroids more effective. Do you think HGH at 4 IUs a day is too low of a dose to make your steroids more effective? What was your daily dose, Dan? Last question, have you heard of people staying on HGH at a low dose for life along with TRT? What are your thoughts on this? Okay. Before I started utilizing pharmaceutical grade growth hormone, I had used various different kinds of generic growth hormone with bad results. And then after I had used pharmaceutical grade growth hormone for 1 year straight, nonstop, I went back to generic growth hormone and tried to use mega doses of it. And it was tested generic growth hormone. And I tried to use mega doses of it and had really bad results and really bad side effects. He says 700 tests, 500 deca, 50 milligrams D-ball. That's an effective cycle, okay? Add growth hormone to this. It's going to be more effective. You're going to be more full. You're going to look more like a fucking house. You're going to look more 3D. It's going to make more of the food that you eat go to your muscles instead of your fat. It's going to be good. You know, you're going to have a good cycle, and you probably can't even really gain any fat no matter what you do if you're taking that cycle and taking 4 IUs of pharmaceutical grade growth hormone per day, okay? So the lowest dose that, you know, has like a bodybuilding effect is 2 IUs per day, and we're talking pharmaceutical grade growth hormone here, okay? And 2 IUs per day has a significant effect, because really the thing is with the growth hormone, it's not really like the dosage so much. I believe that 4 to 6 IUs is the best bodybuilding dosage of growth hormone. And there can be exceptions to that, like bigger shots after training weak body parts, but generally 4 to 6 IUs is the best dose of growth hormone. And that's the dose that all the competitors were using in the '80s. That's the dose that the Humatrope was made in, 4 IU box. So you take one box per day. That's the way it was. That's the way that they were taking it. So then the other thing is that I really don't think that growth hormone has like overall health benefits, like better sleep. Like, I don't get that, man. I think you get more tired when you're on growth hormone. When you're on growth hormone, you have to sleep more than before. If you want to sleep less, take Trenbolone. If you want to have to sleep more, then take growth hormone, because you are definitely going to have to sleep at least one more hour per night when you take growth hormone. You have to, because it forces you. You will be so tired if you don't. And then there's a lot of like negative quality of life factors with growth hormone. Like, it makes your feet hurt, and it makes your hands cramp, and it makes your nerves get kind of like pinched. And so you'll have like tingling limbs and shit, like your hands falling asleep, your arms falling asleep, your legs falling asleep, your ass is falling asleep. I don't fuck. It's...
growth hormone does not improve your quality of life. Let me tell you that, okay? Maybe it could at one IUs per day, but at any kind of bodybuilding dose, it is not. And the reason why Serostim became popular in bodybuilding was because Serostim's made for people who have AIDS, and the dose for people who have AIDS, it's 18 IUs per day. And so Serostim is 7 vials in one box, and it's 7 vials of 18 IU each, and they're supposed to take 1 vial per day. And the people that have the AIDS and they're prescribed this, they don't want to take that because it makes them feel like shit. And so they'd have all this leftover growth hormone, and they started selling it to the bodybuilders in Los Angeles, you know, the Gold's Gym, Venice Beach and stuff. That's how, like, you know, you hear that number, like 18 IUs per day and shit come up. That's because of Serostim. And that's because the people who have AIDS that are prescribed Serostim don't want to take that dose because it doesn't feel good. Like, I've taken 18 IUs of Genotropin for like 2 weeks, and made me hold so much water, and just made me feel like shit, made me so sleepy. And, you know, it's like the only thing you can do is like train, eat, and sit on the couch when you're taking that much growth hormone. That stuff seriously affects your life. Like, it gets it basically, because everything hurts. Like walking 100 meters or 100 yards, it's going to hurt your feet if you're taking a lot of growth hormone. That's pretty much it. Like, life is more uncomfortable when you are taking any kind of large doses of growth hormone. But 4 to 6 IUs per day doesn't really have those effects. It's a lot more mild, especially like 3 to 4 IUs per day. And personally, I would never go above, you know, I've gone for pharmaceutical grade growth hormone, I've gone between 2 IUs to 18 IUs per day. And during the year straight that I used growth hormone nonstop pharmaceutical for 1 year, I was using between 4 IUs to 11 IUs per day. And after all of this experimentation and everything that I've done, you know, my whole bodybuilding career and use, I believe that the best growth hormone dose is 3 to 4 IUs of pharmaceutical grade growth hormone per day. That's what I believe. If I was, I wouldn't want to take more than that. I would like to take more steroids than 500 milligrams or something like that. But with the growth hormone, because of the negative quality of life effects that it has, I don't want to take more than 3 to 4 IUs. And also, it really doesn't even grow muscle very much better at doses higher than 3 to 4 IUs. You know, because another thing is the dosage of growth hormone doesn't matter that much. The main thing that's happening is that when you inject growth hormone, you're getting this environment inside your body where insulin and growth hormone are high at the same time. Whereas someone who is not injecting growth hormone, whenever growth hormone is high, insulin is low. And whenever insulin is high, growth hormone is low. When you start injecting growth hormone, you completely change that. And that is why growth hormone gives you an alien look, because you're having a massive change in the main hormone for getting stuff into your cells. Your insulin being high at the same time as your growth hormone being high, it will not happen for any other reason other than if somebody is taking growth hormone. And once you combine these two factors, high growth hormone with high insulin at the same time, now you start getting these alien effects happening to your body. And that's what growth hormone is best at doing, is making the person look more like an alien, making the person look more like they've left the human species behind. It creates a weird look. It creates a freaky look. It creates a alien look. And it's very easy to do this with pharmaceutical grade growth hormone. It happens like that, okay? It happens in days. It happens in days, 2 to 3 days. But with generic growth hormone, there's things that people say about, like, oh, it takes it takes months or years to start working or something like that. Okay. And there's like all this stuff where people are trying to, you know, go, you know, because I say this thing about pharmaceutical grade growth hormone. And then there's like all these people trying to say some other stuff or something. It's like, oh my God, just do whatever you fucking want to do. Okay. I'm just telling you the way things are. And so
When you use pharmaceutical grade growth hormone, things work really fast and you start looking more alien and more freaky really fast. And your fat, if you use T4 thyroxine with the growth hormone, and your fat just starts melting without any change in diet. But not enormous quantities of fat, okay? Not enormous quantities of fat. If you are obese, you are not going to inject growth hormone and have it melt your fat. If you are 15% body fat, you are going to inject growth hormone and it's going to get you to 10% body fat if it's pharmaceutical grade. Okay, and let's finish up that question there. Do I think 4 IUs per day is too low? No, I don't think it's too low. I think it's a great dose. And I think the dose should be split morning and night. And on your weak body parts days, instead of splitting the dose, yeah, you could still split the dose and it's fine. But instead of splitting the dose, you could just take the whole dose after the workout.
All right. So that's going to be the last question for the podcast today. It's fun talking to you guys, and I'll be coming up with another episode for you guys real soon here. So make sure to go pick up Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. You know, if you just go to bodybuilderinthailand.com, it's I think it's the first article on the homepage where you can check it out and read like 20 pages. It's definitely worth it. It's my best content. You know, if you like the podcast, the book will blow you away.